This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Am I on the air? Thank you, Limits. I looked to my left and nobody was there. Where'd you go? Well, first thing on a Monday morning.
I was getting my headphones all ready to go.
What a man you've become. Your Team USA hat. You watching the Four Nations. You're rooting for Team USA.
Oh, you know it. Even though I hope Sidney Crosby scores like, you know, a hat trick in the final, but Team USA wins.
It looks like Sid only has use of one arm, kind of like Spencer Horwitz at the moment, doesn't it? He was great in game one, but I think that injury has set in. But first, I want to check in with you. And we're both lamenting the fact that Pomp is not here, correct?
That's correct.
We're both celebrating the fact that Donnie Football is engaged, correct?
Very, very happy for Donnie. Talked to him last night.
We're going to have Donnie in at 12:30. That's a big moment. The ring looks wonderful. He put out his lovely fiance's ring on her hand, which is a good place, right,
yep,
to have it on social media. What a man Donnie is.
Yeah, huh? Donnie did a great job with that ring. I'm not going to act like I'm a ring connoisseur and a ring expert.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he did a very good job picking that out.
I want to hear all about it. And I'm also very intrigued by this notion that Donnie has scrubbed social media of the name Donnie Football. Is that right?
That's for him to talk about, not me.
You're the one who told me about it. So first, it's for you to talk about.
I'm the one that tipped you off about it and said to talk to him first before bringing it up. And you didn't talk to him first.
No, we don't do that around here. It's on social media limits. What is a secret?
It says Donnie Chedrick now on his social media account. Maybe he's gone through a rebranding of his name.
That's what I'm curious about. I'm just curious. That's all. And we're going to talk to Donnie Football. Is he still Donnie Football? We're going to talk to him.
We'll find out in 2 hours.
Is his wife? Is the guy or woman going to say, I now pronounce you Mr. and Mrs. Football? Is she Sarah Football? What's happening here?
I think she'll be Sarah Chedrick.
Okay. All right.
With football in parentheses.
We have to ask.
Football will become Donnie, our new middle name.
Yeah. Yes. Sarah Football Chedrick. We have to ask Donnie about all of this. I mean, I'm wildly intrigued. He's become a celebrity. No kidding. He's become a celebrity. And when that happens, I mean, we talk about George Pickens. When he scrubs social media of certain references, we have to talk to Donnie about this, Limits. Yes?
Yes, and maybe that was a condition of their engagement.
I don't know. That's why we're having the man on. We also have another special guest later, off the top, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding. But I begin today with me coming off an epic television watching weekend, Limits. And I mean epic. It might have been the greatest ever. In a career that's pretty epic in its own right, I've spent a good portion, probably a tragic portion of my life, sitting in front of the television watching things, and I've never had a weekend like this one, and I think it was born of the fact that there wasn't really any great sports on. Not really any great sports. Football is done. The hockey happened, I think, was it Friday or Thursday? I don't even know.
Team USA played Thursday, but the USA-Canada game was Saturday.
Saturday, that's right. I did watch a little bit of that and watched it on replay, which was even better. But that had nothing to do with my epic sports weekend. I should say television watching weekend. I begin here, Limits, on a Friday night, my wife and I. Bohemian Rhapsody, the story of Queen. Did you see it?
No.
You should. It's maybe the greatest musical biopic of all time. It's the highest grossing one. The actor, whose name I forget, was incredible. And it's semi-sports related because We Are the Champions has become the most popular sports anthem of all time. I don't think it was intended that way, but this was an incredible, incredible movie. It like puts the Bob Dylan movie and everything else to shame. I like the Elton John biopic. There's lots of them that are good. Nothing like this one. Nothing. And I demand that you see it. It took me 5 years to see it, but I really think you should see it.
It's better than Enigma, the story of Aaron Rodgers on Netflix right now that I'm currently watching.
I actually like that. And I gained some respect for Aaron Rodgers because I've actually secretly, I don't talk about it much, have been on retreats like that, not including the drugs.
The darkness retreat.
Sort of, yeah.
Oh, we have to learn more. Oh, you can't just divulge that and not share more.
I've been in caves. I've been spelunking. I've done fire walks. I've done truss falls off high platforms. I've done a lot of things that you don't know about. Sweat lodges.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. And this reminded me of that. I'm like, all right, this dude, in his own way, is trying to connect with a deeper self, with other people. I can respect that.
Where do we start? Truss falls or spelunking?
Well, we're going to go back to the movies for now. Maybe Donnie Football can bring it up since I'm bringing up his personal information later.
He could bring the popcorn.
We could. He very well might. So I can't recommend that movie enough. I was just blown away by the Freddie Mercury story, by the power of their music. If you're of a certain age, you remember Live Aid, the concert. And I vaguely remembered that they stole the show, and that was unquestionably the case. And he is a legend, and I was just moved by it, man. That the last scene was just phenomenal. Wow! However, that wasn't even the highlight of the weekend, Donnie. I mean, Limits. The next night, we go back to back. The first movie was very odd. It's called I Care a Lot. I think it was off Netflix. Did you see that?
No. Did you care a lot about the movie, though?
I did. I actually had a nightmare related to the movie. It was about a person who becomes the legal guardian through very nefarious means of elderly people. And then she takes advantage of them and steals all their money and sells their houses. The actress was an unbelievably believable, if that's a phrase, unbelievably believable villain. She was great. The movie scared me, and I had a nightmare. But that was followed up, Limits, by my first ever full watching of Caddyshack.
Wow. First ever?
First ever. Had never sat through the entire thing. And needless to say, I kept asking myself why. You had Bill Murray, Rodney Dangerfield, Ted Knight, and Chevy Chase at the tops of their games in the same movie? I don't know. It's one of those weird things. Like, I'm sure there are movies that you've never sat through and you wonder why. It just, the time was never right, correct?
Correct.
You've never seen It's a Wonderful Life, have you?
No, I have.
Okay. There was a movie a couple...
That is one that I have seen at Christmas time.
A couple weeks ago, you brought up a movie that I couldn't believe. The Sound of Music, right?
Yeah, well, I've seen The Sound of Music.
Okay, then I'm wrong about that,
There's
too.
A lot of other movies that I have not seen, though.
I know. You know what I mean. And
of course, you brought up two of like the 15 that I've watched.
I can't believe I've never seen it. The part with the Reverend insisting that he play through the round in the lightning storm. Anyone who's played golf the way I do, which is obsessively, can relate to that. I've been out there on the course. No, I'm not leaving. I don't care if I get hit by lightning. I don't care that it's hailing out here right now. I don't care that my ball just landed in a puddle and I'm trying to play the ball out of the puddle. Him playing through that round was tremendous. And then the other scene that I related to as a fledgling golfer was, it was like an interview, but in the background, there was a guy playing the ball 5 feet at a time and swearing. Remember that scene?
Yes.
He hits the ball. He swears out loud. He shanks it. It's going literally like 5 feet at a time. What a great movie. Do you agree on that?
You didn't bring up the gopher whatsoever with Bill Murray.
That part is sort of overrated to me. I didn't laugh much at that part. I mean, Bill Murray is funny. The physical humor's obviously brilliant. But it was more the golf scenes and more just seeing him and those other three legends in their primes
and
together.
You bringing up Chevy Chase makes me think of last night, the SNL 50th anniversary special, and
yeah.
They didn't even show Chevy Chase other than like 2 seconds at the very end.
My wife left in a huff. I was going to bring that up later as the disappointment of my epic television watching weekend was the SNL 50th anniversary. It sucked. Would you agree?
I didn't think it sucked. Like, there were moments that I liked. I wish they would have brought the Californians back. They did
what
that
it
for the
should
40th.
Have been, what it should have been was a couple of funny people or many people taking turns narrating all their greatest moments. That's what we wanted to see. Earlier in the day, I was talking to my sister and her husband about concerts and how annoying it is when you go to a concert and the person you're there to see play their greatest hits doesn't play their greatest hits, right?
Right. So you what you wanted to see was like
50 years of SNL. I thought that's what we were going to get.
The best sketches
yes.
of like from 1975.
Yes, limits.
Not people like replaying the sketches in different roles.
Or people trying new sketches, which were not funny at all. It was stupid.
Yeah, there were a couple of new sketches that were thrown in there.
There were more than a couple. I'm going to disagree with everything you say today. Because you're off to a start of disagreeing with me.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Okay.
What time is that Finland game tonight? Finland, U.S.
I think it's at 8.
No, it's not. It's at 8:05. I'm going to disagree with everything you say today.
Probably 8:07 they have to do the anthem.
No,
actually,
it's not. It's 8:06.
It'll probably be 8:23 considering that's when USA-Canada started.
And that's not the half of it. That's not the half of my epic watching weekend. I woke up Sunday morning and watched the movie Air. With Matt Damon as Sonny Vaccaro, however you want to say that. The story of how Nike, then a fledgling company, at least in terms of its basketball prowess, somehow landed on Michael Jordan. Limits. Did you see that movie?
Yes, and the fact that Nike was like not a player at all in basketball sneakers. It was all Converse.
Right.
Larry Bird, Magic, all the above. And when Nike ended up taking a risk on Jordan and banking on, one of my favorites is when they ended up going with the band Air Jordan shoes.
Yes.
You know, that whole band campaign.
Right.
They brought it back as like a little tribute to it, I think a couple of weeks ago. That was a risk they were worth taking that paid off better than I think any risk in all of sports marketing history.
Just really cool. A really cool movie about, you're right, the greatest marketing coup in the history of sports, if not the history of America.
Yeah.
Did you see where Jordan, if I have the number right, makes $400 million a year in passive money off of Nike, off of the Air Jordan brand?
It's insane.
Because his mom insisted on that clause where he would get a part of every shoe sale. What a scene that was. Matt Damon was incredible in that movie. We're efforting Sonny Vaccaro for today. Because I also think he's a great guy to talk about NIL and everything, because he's a key figure in the history of athletes getting paid from the Ed O'Bannon case. But the parts of the movie that stood out to me, Limits, one was Sonny driving all the way to Jordan's house in Wilmington, North Carolina, to meet the parents, right? Did you love that part? I'll tell you why I did, because that's what I tell people in my classes at Waynesburg, or what I did. You have to go the extra mile. You have to be different. You have to do better than everybody else. How can you do that? This guy took an unbelievable risk when he went against his Jordan's agent's orders, against all manner of sort of formality and properness, and got on a plane and then in a car and went to the tip of North Carolina and knocked on the door of the Jordan family and talked to the mom. I mean, it was phenomenal. And he told her, this is what you're going to hear from Adidas. This is what you're going to hear from Converse. We're not making any promises here, but if you hear those things from them, then you give me a call. And she heard exactly that, the BS, according to him, that came from those two companies. What did you make of that scene, Limits?
It showed intent. It showed care. It showed passion. It showed that, the fact that when Jordan was coming out of college, it's not like he was LeBron, like the chosen one.
No, he wasn't even the first pick.
No, he was the third pick. So it's not like he was a bona fide Victor Wembanyama, LeBron, number one overall pick,
right.
Slam dunk.
Right.
So for him to be able to trust his gut on Jordan.
And that was a flaw I had in the movie. One of the great scenes was Matt Damon watching the famous shot Jordan beats Georgetown for the national title, right?
Yeah.
With that shot from the left side.
As a young player at Carolina.
So Matt Damon is obsessively watching the tape and he's like, oh my God. And they showed how relaxed Jordan was as a freshman and how the play was designed for him and what his body language before the ball came to him is what convinced Sonny Vaccaro that this guy is, as he put it, an absolute killer. Like he's going to be a legend. He convinced his marketing guy of that, but I never saw a scene where he truly convinced Phil Knight, Nike's guy, owner, founder, where he convinced him, like, why is this guy the chosen one? There was never a scene with that, and it bothered me. But there are many questions I would have for Sonny if we can get him on today, including, of course, the NIL stuff. Michael Jordan's mom, incredible, as she was in The Last Dance, if you saw her get interviewed. I want to know more about that and about the language that she insisted on in that first contract. I want to know about the shoes, Limits, and I know you're very interested in the shoes. Remember they said a certain percentage of the shoe has to be white or you get fined every game, $5,000, and the designer of the original Air Jordan was like, or one of those guys was like, screw it, we'll just pay the fine every game, make it more red than white. Did that ever come to fruition? Did they have to pay? Like, how long did they have to pay for? That was $5,000 a game, which was a lot of money in those days. So we're efforting Sonny. And that doesn't even bring me to the greatest TV moment of my greatest TV watching weekend of my entire career.
How much time did you have? Did you create another 4 hours in the day?
A lot. I did nothing. There was nowhere to go. We took a walk last night, my wife and I, and I said, it can't be any different in the mountains of Siberia right now. Are there mountains in Siberia, Limits?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think there's mountains almost everywhere.
It was unbelievable. It was like the rain had turned to snow. It was now dark and the wind was whipping. And I'm like, where are we? What is happening? Is this the worst winter we've had ever since we moved to this house? I mean, it's incredible. So there was nowhere to go. Absolutely nowhere to go. And then yesterday, right after watching Air, I stumbled upon the Elvis Presley documentary about his 1968 appearance on NBC, his comeback appearance. And this is also sort of partially about sports because it reminded me of athletes that we were robbed of seeing them in their primes. We only got a glimpse. And I came to this conclusion based on watching this performance by Elvis in 1968. He was absolutely blanking phenomenal. Phenomenal. My brother-in-law, Gary Hahn, he was the PR person for Graceland for a long time. So he knows all the Elvis people, including Priscilla, very well. Now he runs the, from a PR side, the National Comedy Center in Chautauqua or Jamestown and the Lucille Ball Museum, I might add,
wow.
Incidentally.
Congratulations on all his success.
So he knows. So we had a Q&A with him after we watched this documentary. I'm going to say this out loud, in my not so humble opinion. I think as far as musical performers go, that Elvis Presley is the most dynamic and versatile musical performer there's ever been in this country. And this 1968 special on NBC proved it. And it was so short and such a little taste of what we could have gotten if Colonel Tom Parker hadn't basically both made Elvis and ruined him. And if you saw the movie, Elvis, you know that. He made him, but he also ruined him by this constant string of B-movies that Elvis was in, all the same. Made a ton of money. But for 7 years, Elvis disappeared, and what he was a guy who could sit down and play guitar, by the way, and play a hell of a guitar, and play country, and play bluegrass, and play unbelievable blues when you put an electric guitar in his hand, had one of the great singing voices you'll ever see, was Mick Jagger before there was Mick Jagger, or maybe after there was Mick Jagger, both of those, and was incredible. But we only got to see it for like 2 hours that night, the best of this guy. It was like Gale Sayers. You know, we got him for 10 minutes because of injuries limits. And this was phenomenal stuff. And if nobody's seen this documentary, you have to watch it. You have to watch it. And as some of the people who were interviewed for it said, you know, this was a time when the Beatles had arrived while Elvis was making all those B movies and disappearing from sight. And Dylan had arrived and the Stones and everybody else. But for this one night when he was allowed out of his cage, Elvis told the world, oh, yeah, I'm Elvis Blanken Presley.
Have not seen it.
You need to see it. You need to see it. And everybody in the world does, Limits.
Not that interested.
I know you're not. I know you're not that interested. And you're not that interested in the other documentaries that I saw either. You and I are of different generations.
Which one?
Bohemian Rhapsody.
I actually went to the movie theater. What was the movie? What was the movie that like they made based on around Queen and a couple of others like 10, 15, probably 15 years ago that it was in theaters?
Yes.
I went and saw that. Why can't I remember the name of it? I don't know, but I was very curious about what SNL 50 was going to be too. I know we touched on that a little bit. One of the texters said that SNL 40 has more so of what you're looking for there with old replays of clips.
Very disappointing. Very disappointing. Last night. Anyway, I wanted to relay my weekend in sort of a sports-related way because it was memorable. It was. We're going to try to have Sonny Vaccaro on the air today at noon to talk about that. That's still a fairly recent. That just came out in 23,
yeah,
that movie. And I thought it was very brilliantly done. But in the meantime, Limits, we have your Pittsburgh Pirates and their first full squad workouts begin today. And my friend Jason Bumbliss tweeted me a projected lineup for this team. And his text to me said that he felt ill upon seeing it. And I'm not sure that he's off base there. Are you ready to listen to this thing?
I think Mr. Bumbliss is going to have a really good next couple of weeks, too, with his team he's coaching.
Yeah. He sent me something that you did. Did you predict that Beaver would win Class AA?
4A.
4A title?
I did.
Wow.
Made my predictions.
That's going out on a limb, Limits, but I like it.
I picked Mr. Bumbliss' team. I think they're really good. They got a dynamic score. They can put up 30-plus a night in Mayo.
You can call him Jason at this point. Yeah, Mayo's a hell of a player.
Yeah, so he can play pretty well, and it's basically going to be, can they beat Bel Vernon? Can they beat Avonworth again, I think.
So here's the Pirates' projected lineup. You ready for this?
Yes.
I think this was it ESPN? It was
MLB.com. My guess, because I think I saw the same thing that you saw.
Isn't everybody projecting lineups right now?
Yes, MLB.com put one out 2 days ago, though.
Okay. Andrew McCutchen leading off, followed by Brian Reynolds, O'Neill Cruz, Joey Bart in the cleanup spot, Nick Gonzalez as your five-hole hitter, One arm Spencer Horwitz in the six hole. Key Bryan spin in front of the plate, topped another grounder to the pitcher Hayes at third base. We Are Family in the eighth spot, and Isaiah Kiner-Falefa batting ninth. Are you kidding me? Is that the lineup you saw?
Yeah, that's the lineup that I saw.
Your first reaction?
Talk about length in the lineup? Non-existent. And
that has the length of an inchworm, that lineup.
When I look at it, I just think about the infield there, Joe. Like, in the conversation we had a couple of weeks ago, can they hit 40 home runs from that group? I'm not confident that they can hit 35.
The starting infield or the whole lineup?
The starting infield.
No, the over-under is 30.5 on the start. If you have Horwitz, Gonzalez, Kiner-Falefa, and Hayes, can they hit 30 is the question.
I think they just get over it, just barely.
Oh, my God. A 38-year-old leadoff hitter who one of these years, like he's been above average to some degree, with some prodigious slumps, I might add, like last year. He's your leadoff guy? Joey Bart, bless his heart, Bart, as your cleanup hitter? Followed by Nick Gonzalez, who had like a 700 OPS. He had some clutch hits, which is nice. A one-armed first baseman as your sixth guy? And Key Bryan Hayes as seven, followed by Tommy Pham, who is soon to be 37, and Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, who is best as a utility man. Of course, they lead the league in utility men.
Don't forget about Adam Frazier. 2021 is smiling somewhere.
Utility man. Malcolm Nunez, I read, plays third and first. A utility man. Nick Gonzalez, utility man. Andy Rodriguez, utility man. Henry Davis, utility man. Tommy Pham, utility. Is there anybody on the team who just plays one position and is good? Other than Brian Reynolds?
O'Neill Cruz plays center field now.
Yeah, he's a utility man because he can also play short. So here's my question. As full squad workouts begin, were you way more optimistic last year? Because I was.
100%. And that was without Paul Skenes already in the majors and Jared Jones knowing what we think he is. That was with not as good of a starting rotation, but I thought the bullpen was better, and they didn't do enough to be able to supplement the talent that they have on this roster.
Well, let's go to Bradenton and talk to our friend and yours, Gormy the Owl, who is live in Bradenton. He's coming up next. He wrote about the first baseman today. Noah Hiles in the Post-Gazette had a really good piece on the Spencer Horwitz mystery around his surgery. It's just incredible. How many people are blocking Hank Davis right now? This is like you going up for a layup in an NBA game. You'd have 17 guys blocking your shot. How many guys are blocking Henry Davis at every position he can play? What are we doing here? Let's ask Gormy the Owl about that. And yes, my opinion on Elvis Presley. You tell me.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Donnie just came in with cupcakes.
They're so good.
You're not kidding. I just had a vanilla cupcake. I imagine his fiance Sarah made those. Donnie freshly engaged.
Congratulations to Donnie, man. Just awesome.
What a wonderful couple, Mr. and Mrs. Football.
They're a great couple. Have you been able to spend much time around them? I've fortunately been able to.
I mean, enough to know that Sarah's wonderful and that Donnie's a great guy.
I ran into Sarah once at Page Dairy Mart. She was picking up an ice cream cake for Donnie for his birthday. That was over the summer.
Slightly melted is the way to eat an ice cream cake. Would you agree with that, Limits?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Not too melted, though.
Well, better to make the mistake on the melting side than the still frozen side.
Right, but you don't want it to turn into like complete soup.
Great point, I think.
That can get bad.
Let's go to Gormy the Owl. He is in Bradenton. Kevin Gorman of the Trib does a wonderful job covering the Pirates. He's on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. And our six-pack brought to you by Bet365. Gormy, really good story today on the first base candidates. My God, how many guys did you go through? It's incredible. Who's going to wind up playing while the one-armed wonder Spencer Horwitz recovers from his injuries?
I mean, right now the favorite is Jared Triolo because of his experience at the position. And I think this is a guy who's earned a spot on the 26-man opening day roster, has showed that he can play. He's competent at first base. This is a guy who's great defensively no matter where you put him. And he's played every infield position and the outfield. So, I mean, I think the Pirates don't want to lose that versatility by making him the everyday first baseman. But I think you're going to see him over there. And I think he's going to acquit himself very well, especially defensively. And he's hit well at first base. You look at his batting average at first, compared to his, you know, other positions. He's done well there, though it's much, you know, much smaller sample size. But, you know, there's some interesting guys. I don't know if you'd say intriguing, but interesting. You know, Derek Hall is a big guy who's played almost exclusively at first base in his career and has some time in the majors with the Phillies in 22 and 23. You know, Malcolm Nunez is the prospect to keep an eye on. He's a guy who was in AAA last year. Played twice as many games at third base than he did at first.
He's older than Ron Cook. Is he still a prospect?
No, he's 23 going on 24.
I'm thinking of the wrong guy.
Yeah, he's the guy that they got along with Johan Oviedo in the Jose Quintana-Chris Stratton trade with the Cardinals at the deadline a few years ago. And he, the Pirates were really interested in him, and he had a shoulder injury. And he came in overweight, had a shoulder injury, and kind of had a lost year there where he only had a half a season to play. But I think he kind of reestablished himself, although I don't think they see him as a top 30 prospect anymore. But I do think, you know, at one point he was number 16 for the Pirates. I do think that he's going to be the type of guy who can maybe, you know, at least open some eyes. But, you know, Matt Gorski is another one that's interesting. He was a top 20 prospect as an outfielder, but he's played first base both in the minors and at the University of Indiana. And he's a guy with a big bat. And he's the one to me is probably the most intriguing just because this might be his last best chance of making an impact with the Pirates because he's by trade, he's a center fielder. We know that position is taken by O'Neill Cruz. So you talk about your limited opportunities. This is a great one for Matt Gorski. But the one that I kind of threw out there that I thought was interesting, and the Pirates have not asked him, so I'm not, you know, kind of putting the cart before the horse. But I think given that he's a big bat and a lefty, a natural lefty who could be a natural position, is that Jack Sawinski, who's now right now at best their fourth outfielder. But he's a guy who just 2 years ago hit 26 homers and had 74 RBIs and I think led the team in OPS. So, you know, the Pirates, if they can get Jack Sawinski's bat right, you know, maybe first base is a chance for Jack Sawinski to be an infielder, outfielder in kind of the Connor Joe mold and bring some thump to the lineup.
This is a disaster, Gormy. You said that you said Triolo brought four gloves to spring training. Did he bring his bat? I mean, he can't hit. That's number one. Number two, as I wrote the other day, they have more utility men than Duquesne Light. Is there anybody in the whole roster who's not a utility man? You've mentioned all these guys play other positions. Gonzalez plays a bunch. Kiner Falefa plays a bunch. Andy Rodriguez plays a bunch. Adam Fraser plays a bunch. How about getting a guy who plays one position, is good at it, and then they have an actual lineup, like regular guys?
Key Brian Hayes is the only one who's locked in at one position, although he's capable of playing other positions. And he's a big key to this spring, this spring and this season. If they can get the Key Brian Hayes of 2023 and not the one of 24, you know, that's a big difference for this lineup. But that's a big, big if, Joe.
I'll say. Well, what about Triolo convinces you that he could hit well enough to man that position?
Well, I mean, he hasn't shown the power. He had a good September of 2024 when he came back from the minors, like late August, early September. So he's shown it in small samples that he can hit, but he's not been a guy whose bat has got him here. It's been his glove, and his glove is a gold glove utility guy last year for the National League. So he's capable of playing a lot of different positions. I think he is more of a stopgap at first base. I am not. Because, you know, the Pirates are adamant that Spencer Horwitz will be back in 6 to 8 weeks to playing games. Does that mean he's playing games in the majors or just in spring training? I think it's the former. But let's just say worst case scenario, Spencer Horwitz needs some time in the minors on a rehab assignment to kind of make up for the spring training missed. I would expect him to be back like mid-May at the latest, maybe June at the very, very latest. So the majority of the season, you're going to have Spencer Horwitz playing first base. And the Pirates really were intrigued by him. Like, this is a guy they've been trying to get for more than a year. And this is a guy that they like his bat and they believe his, you know, defensively he's going to be sufficient at first, but they like the thump that he has it. And you know, but that's also a guy, you know, he doesn't have a lot of time in the majors. He was a good prospect for the Blue Jays, but you know, they were also willing to trade him because they have Vlad Guerrero blocking his path at first base, and didn't think that he was, you know, capable of being an everyday second baseman. So this is far from a sure thing. And this is, you know, the one position I think I wrote that there have been 23 guys to play first base since the Pirates traded Josh Bell. That's not a good thing when you look at it. One position, 23 guys have been through there, and only Rowdy Tellez has played more than 100 games.
Did you list all of them in your story? Because
I should have, but it is a interesting list.
It's like, you know, Cleveland Browns quarterbacks, really.
It almost is. I mean, there's been guys that have played almost every position on the field too. You know, you think of Josh Van Meter and Kevin Padlo and Eric Gonzalez, the shortstop play there. You know, I mean, I could go on. Adam Frazier played a couple games there back in 21. I mean, it's Adam Frazier is not your ideal first baseman, given that he's about 5'9", 5'10" at tops. So it's, but I mean, this is the most non-ideal circumstance for the Pirates, but it's also, it happened at a time of the year where the Pirates can compensate in the short term. This is not losing a guy in June for the remainder of the season. So, I know it's kind of like people pressing the panic button, but at least they got this taken care of before the season, as opposed to losing someone like Hayes for the majority of the season, or losing someone like Cruz 9 games into the season. This is not full-blown, you know, chaos right now. It's just, this is a less than ideal situation for sure.
Yeah. I guess when you have a tendon in the wrist thumb area for a hitter, I'll believe it when I see it if he's back in playing games in 6 to 8 weeks. But one guy you didn't mention at first base, and we're talking to Kevin Gorman from the Trib, he's in Florida covering the Pirates, is Hank Davis. Now, they have three people at catcher seemingly in front of him. Andy Rodriguez, Joey Bart is apparently the starter, and then Jason DeLay, the human rain delay. Then you have Andrew McCutchen, a 38-year-old, blocking him at DH from the right side. And then does that leave still right field? Is that still an option? He's the worst defensive right fielder I think I've ever seen, Gormy. He made Gregory Polanco look like Yoshi Willie Mays. What?
You didn't see Yoshi Tsutsugo when he was in right field?
Joe, no, I missed that one.
I'm not saying anything to poo-poo your statement, but the Pirates have had some hideous guys. I mean, yeah, Henry Davis was lost out there because he'd never played the outfield before. Certainly the arm played out there.
Where's he going to play?
He's here as a catcher. He's in the – they have not – Joey Bart is most likely going to get the majority of games, both in spring training and this season, but it's not like a clear cut that he's the starter and there's a backup who's only going to play. It may be more of a 50-50 split. The Pirates have said that Joey Bart will be one of the two catchers. Henry Davis is certainly vying for a chance to be at worst the backup and at best the guy who splits the position with Bart. I would imagine either Henry Davis or Andy Rodriguez is going to be in the minors just to make sure that one of them is playing as frequently as possible. Henry Davis is a guy who can DH. He's a guy who hasn't played anything really but catcher, so I don't see him being a guy who's the positional versatility thing unless they give up on him as a catcher, which the Pirates have shown no indication of doing. So, but I can say this. I had a really good conversation with Henry last week, and I'm writing a story on him that'll be posted tomorrow. And this is a guy who has a different mindset going into this spring training than in years past, where I think he felt the pressure of being the number one overall pick and being a guy who could come in here and make an immediate impact and be a difference maker. And I think he put way too much pressure on himself. And I think that's why you saw him have to go through the adversity. And so he's coming in with a completely very much locked in and like, hey, you know, my job is to do this and not to do too much, you know? I don't know. I see a different Henry Davis. So whether we see that result on the field and especially at the plate, which is, you know, his carrying tool is his bat, that remains to be seen. But mentality wise, I don't see a Henry Davis who's coming in here trying to save the Pirates. I think it's a Henry Davis that's like, hey, if I do what I'm supposed to do, my bat plays. You know, he does have that one game against Shohei Ohtani where he hit two home runs in one game, first in the majors to do that. That's the type of thing where, you know, there's some experiences that you have in the majors that carry some weight.
This is a disaster, Gormie. How about Andy?
Well, you didn't ask me about the one thing that's not a disaster is the starting rotation.
Well,
you could say what you want about the Pirates, and I'm not defending them, but they do have one guy that at least one guy.
Oh, believe me,
truly special in Paul Skeens, and he looks the part. He's carrying himself in a different way than he did last year. He's not a guy who's hoping to make the team. He's a guy who looks like and acts like he's the ace of this pitching staff. And so you start with that rotation and you build out from there. Whether the Pirates have the bats to support the pitching staff is a big, big question mark, no doubt, Joe. But, that's the one thing that they do have is with, Skeens, Jones, Keller, Falter, Oviedo, they have a makings of a starting rotation, and they've got a guy in Bubba Chandler that people think is going to be very special. So,
is he going to open the season with them?
I think he's very much got a chance to do what Jared Jones does. I think the difference is Bubba only made 7 starts at AAA last year, so they'd probably like to get him some more time down there. But if he comes up here and blows hitters away and does what Jared Jones did last year, I think it's gonna be hard because Johan Oviedo's coming back from Tommy John surgery. So this is not a guy who's coming in at 100%. This is a guy who's, kind of working his way back into pitching. And so, it's not like there's a clear-cut fifth starter. I think Bubba Chandler's got a chance to make a push, but I also think probably the preference would be to do what they did with Skeens and start him in the minors and bring him up, sometime in May or June. But that Bubba Chandler could change all that. I mean, he's a top 10 prospect in baseball, not just for the Pirates. He's their number one. But in baseball, he's considered a top 10 prospect and a future star.
Well, a guy who was recently their number one, and I actually loved him as a catcher when he came up 2 seasons ago, but then he got injured, is Endy. Like, he struck me as a guy who took control of the pitching staff at an unbelievable amount of, enthusiasm, and he oozed leadership. And I still, it's been too small of a sample size to see if he can hit. Where is he going to play? Is he going to be the other catcher? Can he play first? What's up with him?
Yeah, right now in spring training, the plan is for him to stay a catcher just to kind of get him reacquainted because he's also coming off Tommy John surgery. But Endy can play second base, first base. He can play in the outfield if necessary. He's a very good athlete. And that's the thing is if the bat plays, the Pirates have the flexibility of moving him around. His arm plays. I mean, that's the one thing. I think he had a 30% caught stealing percentage in his rookie season. But certainly Endy's another intriguing guy. And that's the thing where I understand there's a lot of people that are not optimistic about this season for a lot of reasons and a lot of good reasons. But when you think about this is a team that won 76 games, it did so without a healthy key Brian Hayes. He had the worst season of his career. It did so without Andy Rodriguez. It did so without Johan Oviedo. There's some guys that are back that are internal additions that could help improve this team. And Henry Davis coming off a worse season, Jack Sawinski coming off a worse season. My take with this Pirates team is there is talent there. The problem is you're an organization that's going into spring training with your fingers crossed that everybody maximizes their potential and that you don't have the depth to overcome the guys that either get injured or fall short of expectations. So that's the biggest concern. I mean, I think the Pirates have made some upgrades, especially when you look at last year's opening day roster. Like last year, the opening day backup, middle infielder was Alika Williams, the guy who was designated for assignment to make room, I think, when they signed Tommy Pham. Now the backup middle infielder could be either Jared Triolo, who has a Gold Glove, or Adam Frazier, who was an All-Star in 2021. I mean, there's a much improved depth in some areas, but you still are lacking some thump in this lineup. They didn't go out and get a guy who's going to bring in 25, 30 home runs or even 40 like an Anthony Santander. And they brought in some veteran leadership, but I really think more than veteran leadership, what they need right now is, some offensive production.
Yeah, me too. I'm not sure I see Jared Triolo and Adam Frazier as an upgrade on anybody. Neither one of them can hit. But Gormie, who's talking at 11?
Well, Shelton talks after practice, and Andrew McCutchen arrived today. I'm pretty sure he's going through all of his physical exam and eye exams and everything, but he's going to talk after practice. So I don't know what time practice goes until today because this is the first full squad workout. So based on practice was ending at 11 or 11:30 all last week, but that was more pitchers and catchers, and it was an optional workout for position players. So it'll be interesting. Tommy Pham, we talked to before practice, and he's a guy who very interesting. He said, you know, what do you bring to this team? And this is a guy who's going to be 37 on opening day, and has played in the Central with the St. Louis Cardinals, and has played for, I think this he's on his 12th team in 10 years or something like that, and it's something like 10th or 11th team in the last three or four. But Tommy Pham is a guy who said, yeah, I bring me. Like, I'm a guy with a lot of experience. I've had a lot of success. I've been on a lot of different teams, and he's experienced a lot, and he's like, I bring that. And he also feels like he can be a plus defender, that's a stretch. I mean, this is a guy who probably would be great as a fourth outfielder and a bit underwhelming as a starting outfielder. But certainly the Pirates went out and got in Pham and Frazier, two guys who have been in the playoffs the last few years and bring that playoff experience. And Frazier just talked to us, and Pham got into it a little bit as well, about the minutia, the details that separate a team from winning from losing. You know, Ketch got into that at Pirates Fest last month, about how many games the Pirates could have and maybe should have won last season that they let slip away. You think about that bullpen, how many blown leads they had last year and how many close games the Pirates lost. One-run games, I think they lost something like 26 one-run games. That could be the difference between a winning and losing team, is not having fundamental lapses, is not having base-running errors, or not having guys not back up the base. Like little things in the game that you should expect from major leaguers. And I think that's going to be a very focal point of this camp, is focusing on the fundamentals and focusing on the details and what it takes to separate a team from winning from losing. Because, the Pirates, after back-to-back 100-loss seasons, now have had back-to-back 76-win seasons. It's about time for them to start winning. We're talking year six of this rebuild. And I think if they don't start winning, I think you're going to see the hot seat get a lot hotter for guys like Ben Cherington and Derek Shelton.
Lastly, and real quickly, Kev, is Bob Nutting there, and is he going to speak today?
Bob Nutting is here. He was greeting some people. He's still out on the field talking to Ben Cherington as we speak. I don't think he's going to speak, or at least if he does, I don't think he's going to be doing like full interviews. He may have a statement to say about just being here for the first day of camp. But my what I've been told about Bob is that he wants to be here for a few days and get a real feel for things before he talks about the team. So I do expect him to speak. I'm here until March 3rd. I do expect him to talk and do interviews sometime between now and then, hopefully sooner rather than later. But I think it's important for Bob to put his face out there and be willing to, one, answer questions, and two, take some accountability for what's gone on with this team in terms of the spending on payroll, the winning, some of the decisions that have been made behind the scenes, because the Pirates have new directors of pro scouting, amateur international scouting, the farm system. I mean, the analytics. They've made some major turnover in the front office, even though it hasn't been Cherington and Shelton. There's been a lot of turnover, and so there's very clearly feeling that this team did not meet expectations, and that, like I said, that hot seat is going to get a lot warmer, because it's time to start winning. I mean, I think people feel like now that Paul Skeens is here, and now that he's established himself as a bona fide star in the major leagues, as a guy who started for the National League in the All-Star game and fared well, as a guy who won National League Rookie of the Year, as a guy who was third in Cy Young voting, and as a guy who right now is ranked the number four starting pitcher and top 15 player by MLB Network among all players in baseball. You've got your bona fide superstar, and you've got to win with the window you have him here.
Gormie, we appreciate the time, man. Great coverage down there. Tell Ron Cook we said hello. I know you guys are heading out to dinner tonight.
Yeah, we might see him. I think they go to Fort Myers here sometime while
exactly.
I'm down here. So we might have to catch up with Ron. But hey, you mentioned at the top that about the ice cream cakes. I worked at Page Dairy Mart for 4 years, so one of my specialties is what they call the South Side Shake, three quarters milkshake with a sundae on top. I think you'd enjoy that one, Joe.
I think so. Thank you, Gormie.
All right, Joe. Thanks for having me.
See you, buddy. Kevin Gorman with a rather optimistic view of your Pirates' limits. I mean, when you think, maybe he's right. Maybe Adam Frazier and Jared Triolo are an upgrade. I don't know that Adam Frazier is an upgrade over Alika Williams. And Alika Williams might have been the worst player in the majors last year.
I think a lot of people are upgrades over Alika Williams.
Is Adam Frazier one of them?
Slightly. But we're splitting hairs here, Joe, and that's the main problem. We're splitting hairs and having a conversation if Alika Williams is not as good as Adam Frazier. Like, that should be the lowest of low things on the totem pole of problems right now.
Because Adam Frazier last year, in 294 plate appearances with Kansas City, hit 202 with a 576 OPS. That's 202 with a 576 OPS. Alika Williams, who makes Mario Mendoza look like Cal Ripken, hit 207 here with a 541 OPS. So tell me again how this is a big upgrade to bring in an old, broken down former Pirate coming off a horrible season. Do they ever sign anybody or trade for anybody coming off a good season in his prime? I read you the lineup. Who are the hitters that are good and in their primes? Like bona fide good major league hitters in their primes. I see one, and that's Ryan Reynolds.
I see two. I see Cruz. But again, you're talking about a nine-person lineup.
You see Cruz as a guy who's proven it or could be that?
Could be that.
Yeah.
I think last year he proved a lot. And coming off the injury, they also just made the injury feel like it affected the whole entire season. I don't know if we can fully believe that. You know, they were still using the injury as a crux and as a crutch in what, like July, August, and September as reasons why he wasn't playing every
maybe
day.
To be fair with Cruz, maybe rightfully, he had a decent year, but now's the time. You know, he lost a lot of time with that major injury. Now he's 26. He's going to turn 27. Well, he won't turn 27 till next October. No, wait a second here. He turns 27 in October. It's time. Are we going to get an above average player or are we going to get a star?
Like, I can see it right now. It's a one-run game. Paul Skenes is pitching into the eighth. The Pirates are trailing by a run, and here comes the likes of Adam Frazier, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, and Key Brian Hayes.
And Jared Triola. Right.
Up to the lineup.
And yep. Spencer Horwitz.
And Jason Delay.
The human rain delay.
That's right. Postponed 1 hour.
Ugh.
Let him get his work.
All right. Listen to the Pomp and Joe show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry Contest run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the 50-minute mark brought to you by South Hills Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Hockey. Hockey has taken a turn here for the better. Let's grab some of the headlines around the country, too. Let's talk about this Four Nations, what's going to happen tonight, and hopefully a U.S.-Canada rematch. All hell broke loose Saturday night with three fights in the first 9 seconds. Some people didn't like it. I absolutely loved it. This is the way hockey is meant to be played.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.